Welcome back to Living on Earth, Bill.
Thank you very much, Steve. It's nice to be here.
And congratulations.
It's actually very exciting to see the work of the IPCC recognized this way, and the work of Al Gore in publicizing that information.
So when the Nobel Committee gives the Peace Prize to an organization like IPCC, what is the message?
Well, I think the message is that the work of the agency has been important in promoting peace. And people may wonder, how does climate change relate to war and peace? And in fact, the changing climate is contributing to instability all over the world. I mean, the conflict in Darfur is partly a consequence of the dreadful climate conditions in that part of the world, compounded by political instability. So I think the connection is a really interesting one, and I think the well-being of the planet, which means the well-being of the people of the planet, depend upon having a stable climate. And the IPCC has done a lot to help the world understand what's going on and what we can do about it.
Give me a brief history of the IPCC and your involvement with it. You started with them back, what, in 1988?
Well, I actually wasn't on the very first part, although I attended the first meeting of the IPCC in January of 1989. It was held at the State Department. It was the first official act of Secretary of State James Baker under the first George Bush. And the IPCC was actually started largely at the insistence of the Bush administration to try to, in effect, rein in a lot of loose cannon scientists who were going around saying climate change was a problem. And the thought was, if governments kind of had a means of dealing with this, it would all be pretty regularized. And so they worked with the UN to create the IPCC. And the very first meeting was held at the State Department in Washington, and it was one of the first official international acts of the Bush administration. And the first report came out in 1990. The IPCC was headed by Bert Bolin, who was a Swedish meteorologist, and it really focused on the science. It was put together rather hastily because there wasn't a lot of time, but it basically gathered all the information that was available and said, gee, there's a lot of information here. It looks like climate change may be real. Here are the uncertainties. We need to do more work.
Now, the Bush administration pushing this organization, was this the result they were looking for?
I'm not sure it was, and they may have been surprised at the finding. But what's always interesting about the IPCC is its scientific independence. Governments appoint scientists, but the scientists then have their independent integrity to do whatever they see is right about the science. And the IPCC basically assesses all of the science that is available on the topic and integrates it into one large report that comes out about every 5 or 6 years. So it's a very interesting process. And then at the end of the 3 years, in other words, each scientist spends 3 years going to meetings and writing the report, governments get together and create something called the summary for policymakers. And this is where governments get to have their say on what the report says, but they're not allowed to change anything that's in the technical report. It's a very interesting way to keep the politics out of the science, but to give governments a stake in the report itself.
What's been the impact of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change since its creation?
Well, it's interesting. The 1990 report came out, and 2 years later at Rio, the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change was signed, and the U.S., in fact, was the first industrial country and one of the first countries to ratify it. President Bush went to Rio, signed it, and brought it back, and it was ratified unanimously by the U.S. Senate 4 months later. It entered into force in the following March of 1993 when 60 countries had ratified it, and now there are over 190 countries who are parties to the treaty. In 1995 report, that was followed 2 years later by the Kyoto Protocol. And then, as you know, the Kyoto Protocol had a hard time getting traction in terms of being ratified by enough countries. And the 2001 report seemed to have given the final boost that got the final ratification of the Kyoto Protocol. And the 2007 report that's been coming out this year, I think the effect of that has been to galvanize governments and the public about not only the seriousness of the problem, but the possibilities of solutions to address it.
Now, you are one of a number of I guess the number is probably in the thousands of people who are sharing in this Peace Prize. And another one of them is former Vice President Al Gore, although he's specifically named.
Yes.
Why do you suppose the committee chose to award someone like former Vice President Gore, somebody very visible, top-down person, rather than, say, more of an activist person, such as a Martin Luther King or a Wangari Maathai?
Well, in fact, I think Al Gore is being honored in his activist role. That is, as you know, before, when he was still in the Senate, he wrote a book, Earth in the Balance, and then he ran for president and was engaged in a lot of other things during his term in office. And then after leaving the White House, he decided that this really was the most important issue, and he's just been tireless in developing this. And unlike any of us as independent scientists or even as the chairs of the IPCC, Al Gore has the visibility and was able to mobilize this amazing effort to create An Inconvenient Truth, the film, which has been seen all over the world and has influenced a lot of people. And what's interesting is most of the data, almost all of the things he shows in that film, come from the IPCC or the studies that are cited in the IPCC reports.
The Nobel Peace Prize Committee is rather famous for not so much honoring people for what they've done in the past, but rather giving a push to a present political situation. I'm thinking of when they honored the three Middle East leaders at one crucial point, Martin Luther King during the middle of the civil rights movement, Wangari Maathai. What do you think is the message here from the Nobel Peace Prize Committee?
Well, I think you're right. I think the Peace Prize Committee does tend to choose an issue that they see as really critical and timely. And I think what they're probably saying, I mean, it's always hard to get inside the head of other people, but what it appears they're saying here is, look, climate change is a really important issue, and it really needs to be addressed, and we're going to honor those who have been working to make us aware of the problem, to verify that it really is a problem, to identify what its impacts are, and has worked to identify solutions. And So I think they're probably sending a message, or even if they aren't sending the message, I think the message that will be taken from this is that the world recognizes that this is climate change is a really serious problem, and it's time to begin addressing it.
Now, among other things, Professor Mumma, you study political science. To what extent is this message from the Nobel Peace Prize Committee to Mr. Gore, run, Al, run?
Boy, that's a harder one. I don't know if the Peace Prize wishes to engage in U.S. politics, which is, as we all know, we're in the presidential running season right now, and I'm sure that this is going to embolden Al Gore's supporters, who will urge him to run. In fact, I think there was an ad in the New York Times recently just urging him to run, and he insists that he's not interested in running, that he's perfectly happy becoming the Paul Revere of climate change action. But I think we'll just have to wait and see how that plays out.
Bill Mumma is professor of international environmental policy at Tufts University and a lead author of several publications of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Well, Professor, thank you so much for taking this time, and congratulations to you and your colleagues.
Thank you.